right. Our title of our lesson is something that you have probably heard before. Don't blame me, it's not my fault. I mean, we've all heard that, and we hear it more and more. And this is one of the most prolific excuses offered for any misdeed or sin. Well, it's not my fault. The devil made me do it. You remember that? I mean, yeah, Nipsey, he got a lot of flack for saying that 60 years ago. I think, no, 60, 50 years ago. Flip Wilson got a lot of flack for saying, the devil made me do it. Well, a lot of preachers kind of got on his case. No, the devil didn't make you do it. And the more we study, yeah, he may influence a lot of things around us, but when we decide to sin, that's on us. And so we have to look at this lesson. See, this idea of don't blame me, it's not my fault, started all the way back at the Garden of Eden. Oh, wait a minute, they didn't use that language. See, the first man, Adam, pretty much said so when being interviewed by God after he ate the forbidden fruit. You know, he says his response was, the woman you, I think he put a little emphasis on you, the woman that you gave me caused me to sin. And so it's not my fault. I mean, so from the beginning, this has become a standard phrase and practice. And people use one form of that word or another all the time. And even throughout the Bible, people are coming and saying, well, you can't really blame me on it. Well, they made me do it or they caused it. I mean, there's some statement that says the king of Israel caused Israel to sin, like Jeroboam. He caused the people to sin. Well, he kind of led the direction, but he didn't make them sin. They did that on their own. And that's something we have to learn, because in our world today, I mean, they don't like to say that anybody's at fault except someone they don't like. Okay, so let's face it. There's probably not a man or woman alive who has not uttered these words at least once in their lives. And for many people, these words are uttered over and over. It's not my fault. And they just make a habit of saying that to the point where they actually believe it. And the reason is because people would rather say this than to acknowledge sin, iniquity, and shortcomings in their life. I mean, it's hard enough. It's so hard to say that I was wrong, or I did that which I was not supposed to do, or I did not do what I was supposed to do. I mean, in the workplace, when you're guilty of one of these transgressions, you come out and say that, or, well, there was a reason, you know, I didn't do what I was supposed to, but, I mean, that but's always jumping in there right behind. There's always an excuse, well, I didn't do it, but there's a reason I didn't do it. And they have to explain that. And rather, okay, I did something, but I was told to do it or something. I mean, there's always something going on. Just to acknowledge saying that I was wrong, I mean, that's kind of difficult for so many people. And then we look at it from a spiritual perspective, and we remember we had a couple sermons last year, I have sinned. I mean, it's the same thing. I have sinned. I have done wrong. And so just acknowledging that is so important. But folks, we just have to be careful that we're not guilty of the same sin, failing to acknowledge our shortcomings. Imagine a person in court telling the judge that the bullets that came out of the gun they were holding was not their fault. I mean, can you imagine that? In other words, the gun failed to misfire when I pulled the trigger. So it's not my fault the other person was killed or injured. I mean, can you see how ridiculous that sounds? Or imagine a person telling a judge that the light failed to change for them and running into another vehicle was not their fault. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, well, let's think about it. If that sounds absurd, I can just about guarantee that these arguments have been offered sometime in the past in a court of law somewhere. I mean, we read it all the time. We see these little quips on, whether it's on Facebook or so, or we get them on email. Things heard in a court of law and things like that. And some of them are quite comical when you think about it. But the fact that people would even use those type of arguments is kind of absurd in your own mind. But the really more absurd thing is when the judge is, okay, I'll go along with that. I mean, just things are so outrageous these days, and we don't know what to think about it. See, imagine all the victims of society blaming everything on someone else. And they're not responsible for their crimes. I mean, this is our way of making a living. For some of them saying that, and it wasn't fair. And well, we do not have to imagine, because we see it every day in our world. And we see the stupidest thing by people. A person is trying to defend his home when invaders come in. He shoots one of them. The family and the lawyer of that family say, well, you shouldn't have deprived this person of what's theirs. Let them take what they want, and insurance will cover that. You can't restore this person's life. I mean, we hear stupid stuff all the time like that. And the sad thing is that much of society does not hold people accountable for what they do. I mean, they're doing it, so they don't want to hold anybody else accountable for it. Unless, when we start thinking politics, well, if a Democrat does it, it's okay. If a Republican does it, they need to be disbarred or dismembered or tarred and feathered or something like that. I mean, we see that. And they can always blame someone or something else. And that's what it is. When a kid goes in and shoots up the school, who do they blame? They blame the parents. They blame video games. They blame society. They blame poverty. They blame the gun manufacturer. And the only person they don't blame is the kid who pulled the trigger. And that's just wrong. And so there's no blame going around. And some people are saying, well, you're responsible if I do something stupid. I mean, we see that all the time. People filing insurance claims because, well, they're on their cell phone, they're going along, they fall over a car that's not moving anywhere, but they sue the insurance company thinking that, well, your car shouldn't have been there. And they frivolous lawsuits like that. Let's face it, it's not their fault if someone left their keys in the car, right? You remember they had a show back in the 80s and 90s called Bait Car, and they would put it on, and there was always enough of this going on that, and of course they had the hidden cameras in the car, and the bait car that left the keys in it, and of course they'd show from the outside, someone walk around, look, oh, there's keys in that car. Look around, go jump in it, crank it up, take off, and they're, yeah. I mean, just so excited. Then all of a sudden the car dies, and what's going on? They try and get out, the doors are locked, they can't get out. And then next thing you know, here's those flashing lights coming up behind them. Now, but that was not the funny part. The funny part was their explanation. Listening to the logic of some of the criminals was just hilarious. I mean, we got a thrill out of it. That's why it was popular for several years. But really, when you think about it, it's just downright sad. People doing that. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, it's just as wrong when someone goes along and smashes all those car windows in San Francisco. They must be thinking, look what we did. And then, insurance is going to have to pay out a lot of money for this. People are all upset, and they really don't care about other people. I mean, it's just downright sad when that takes place. And we could mention a lot of politicians who claim it's not their fault of things going wrong. It was the previous administration or something that happened. It's not our fault, but reelect me and we'll work on this problem. How many times have we heard that? And everybody says, we got problems. Well, let's put the same people back in there so they can fix the problems. And does that ever happen? No. The problem is they probably created the problem in the first place, and now they just want to say, keep me in here so we can work on this. That's like the arsonist, the fireman who's an arsonist. Well, he goes and sets a fire, then he goes back to the station. Oh, let me go fight this fire. See, a big problem in our world is people placing blame on someone or something else rather than fixing the problems. If you have a problem with sin, you don't have to worry about the government fixing the problem or society or somebody else fixing the problem. That's your responsibility, and you've got to fix the problem. And a lot of times, they just put Band-Aids on these things. They do things like that. I remember in the business world, I mean, I worked for a trucking company, and there were several times that a guy was coming in and started complaining about his truck. The engine's not working right, or maybe the transmission is kind of slipping or anything. And so what they did eventually was they took his truck and painted it, made it look all nice and pretty, and gave it to him, and that solved the problem. They would think it solved the problem, but it didn't. So anyway, they always want to blame something else, and people don't want to fix the problem. See, many of us are trying to blame the woes of this country upon the current administration. And it's only been in administration for a little over a year and a half. And of course, when they come up, when they're asked about it, well, that was the previous administration's fault. Let's blame the previous people that were in there and things like that. I mean, they're always trying to blame somebody else. And they're always claiming it's not their fault. It's not our fault that our economy is like it is. And so the truth is, they're usually right in such a statement. Because it's everybody's fault. But they're always trying to blame it on someone else. The problems facing this country are no different than any other country on this planet. The problem is sin. Sin is the problem. And they won't even acknowledge that. Our society has gotten to the point they despise that word sin. They will not allow it to be used in any situation. Doesn't matter if someone goes up and some kid shoots up a bunch of classmates. That word sin is not going to appear on that broadcast. If you're watching the news, they're going to talk about all this stuff, all the terrified kids, all the children who died and things like that. You'll never hear the word sin anytime if you're watching news, local news or any other news, really, unless it's maybe Christian news. But even then, they have their problems. See, it began back when Adam tried to claim that it was not his fault that he broke God's divine ordinance. And so that's how many people seem to justify their own actions. And they do not feel guilty of doing sin or breaking the law. Well, it's not my fault. So if it's not my fault, so I can't be held accountable for it. Or so they think. See, God knew from the beginning that man was going to sin. I mean, Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God made a provision before the foundation of the earth to help man do something to rectify his situation. God had it planned before the foundation of this world. Ephesians 1:7 tells us that. And that plan was Jesus Christ, his own son, was going to be the Savior of mankind. And of course, God knew that sin would separate a soul from him. And Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Some versions say your sins do this. So folks, when we sin, we're causing friction with God. And if we continue to sin, I mean, we have a problem. Because we're not supposed to sin, right? 1 John 2:1. Do not sin. And that's the command that we have from God. Do not sin. But when you think about it, we also know that, yeah, we're going to sin. Everybody sins. Even we who are in church, we're not perfect. We sin. And so we need to be forgiven. And we recognize that. See, God knew that most sinners would try to place the blame on something else or someone else. It's not my fault that the preacher made me mad because he stepped on my toes and I don't like him. I mean, it's not my fault. I mean, so they're always trying to come up with something. And that is the reason God not only gave us death through the sin of Adam, he gave us the judgment to come. You know, we read there in 1 Corinthians that through Adam, sin entered the world. And then we read in Hebrews 9, it is appointed for man, every man, to die once, and then after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And so the only way to avoid a negative judgment would be to confess the divine nature of Christ as being the faithful Son of God and living as God required to the best of one's ability. That means obeying the gospel. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent, you confess, you're baptized, and then you got to live faithful. You do that by growing in God's grace and learning everything we can. Some people are just satisfied not to learn anymore after their baptism. And they're very weak individuals. They're usually already corrupted by the world. And they're not going to go to heaven, even though they've been baptized, because they're not putting forth the effort. James, 2 Peter 1, you know, he talks about the Christian virtues, add to your faith, all of these things. And as long as you do these things, you'll never stumble. But when you stop doing these things, it makes you blind and short-sighted, having forgotten the purification of your sins. And so the problem is that most people do not want to live a life of dedication to God. They have their own life. How many times have you heard that when people choose, I'm not gonna obey the gospel because I have my own life to live. I want to live it my way and how I choose. If I think something's right for me, I'm going to do it. If I don't think it's right for me, I'm not going to do it. And we see the result of that in our world at large. That's the way most people are. Very few people are actually trying to be committed to God and do things God's way. And this society has no problem ridiculing and making fun of those who try and do it right. And sadly, even in the church, when we start teaching there's only one way to heaven, we start getting ridiculed for that. We get called entitled things like fundamentalist or legalist or something like that. And so, I mean, these are the things that are taking place in our world. And most people do not want to live the life that God wants them to live. But if we want to go to heaven, folks, we better learn what kind of life that God wants us to live, and we better be living it. We don't need to take a chance. See, they would rather fulfill their lust and their passions than sit down and go to church every Sunday and sing psalms and things like that. See, people need to learn to confess their sins instead of trying to shift the blame. And it just really comes down to it. When a kid pulls the trigger, who is guilty? The kid who pulled the trigger. And yes, that's they're the ones have to, okay, I did wrong. They have to confess it. Actually, the whole world by that time knows, okay, he did wrong. Why doesn't he confess it himself? And a lot of people choose not to do that. I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, we hear that with politics all the time. I didn't do anything wrong. And so the conflict every person faces comes from within. And this is what most people don't understand. We think the conflict is through racism. We think the conflict is between nationalities or something like that. Folks, the real conflict is within ourselves. You know, James 1:14-15 says that when we decide to sin, it originates in our own heart, in our own mind. And then our thoughts lead us into eventually sin. And of course, sin brings forth death. I mean, Galatians 5:16 tells us our soul and our spirit are at constant war. They're at enmity with each other. The spirit is at enmity with the flesh. And the flesh wants to fulfill the passions and the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And they want to do that. They want to have fun. They want to go do all sorts of wickedness. And the Spirit says, no, do what God says to do. And a lot of people, they know, okay, I know I should be doing what God wants to do, but I can't let go of the things the world is offering me. So folks, there's a conflict with these people, and they can't be anything but miserable. Think about that. They can't be anything but miserable. Well, I need to be right with God, but I'm having so much fun. And so they enjoy in their fun, but then, oh, I'm sorry, God, I shouldn't have done that. I should never have gotten to that point. See, if we want to have fellowship with God, we are commanded to obey the gospel of Christ. That's what Jesus said, if you want to be saved. I mean, to enter this fellowship, we need to be baptized into Christ. And yes, if we sin, which we will, and we all do, okay, what do? We confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. See, good fighting evil has always been part of the human story. And we face it all the time. And different people, they recognize it, but sometimes they don't acknowledge it. I mean, sometimes the facts stare people in the face, but they don't want to acknowledge that because it doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit what they want to portray or project. We read a news story. I mean, the headline says, "Cop shoots black guy." All right. Well, what they don't mention is the fact this black guy had a knife, was chasing, trying to kill the cop. I mean, they just conveniently leave out that information. And just like recently, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Al Gore was going around talking about his climate change. He called an inconvenient truth. Well, the truth is, there's no climate change taking place. This is all normal. They've been telling us for 50 years the oceans are rising because the polar caps are melting. You know, all you have to do is go look at some old photographs of San Francisco Bay and you'll see how far the water has risen. I saw a picture the other day of a picture taken in back in the 30s of Sydney Harbor. Guess what? The only thing new about the Sydney Harbor is they've got a big fancy opera house in it now. The oceans aren't rising. Oh no, if this happens, if we don't cut the emissions, we're going to have the oceans rising. We've been hearing that for all this time. Has it happened? No. In fact, the Arctic polar caps have expanded and they've decreased. I mean, several times during that. I mean, there's always, part of the human story is always fighting evil. And of course, it really comes down to, what do you consider evil? Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." We see every sin that God abhors being magnified and promoted in our society. And basically, they're saying, you got to do it. You have to do it. You have to become gay if you want to live right. I mean, that's what they're trying to promote, these various sins. And those of us who are trying to say, we need to do right. Look what happened when the Supreme Court made the decision about abortion. I mean, they're going crazy out there. We want to kill our babies. That's what they want to say. And you good old goody two-shoes, you're preventing this from happening. They're the evil ones as far as those people are concerned. See, it seems that evil is beginning to triumph at the present time, but we must remember that Jesus the Lamb will have the ultimate victory. And so if we want to be on the winning team, we've got to get on the winning team. And we can't wait until next week. We can't wait till next year. We can't wait till we're about to die. If we want to be on the winning team, we need to be on that winning team right now. And then do what we can to stay on that winning team. See, all those on his side will experience this ultimate victory. I mean, you can just imagine. And Peter described this ultimate victory as one that never fades away. It will be beyond any human comprehension of what we can think or ask. And it's going to be so magnificent, words cannot describe it. Pictures could not describe it. It's going to be an ultimate victory that we will experience, but only if we endure the hardship at this time. And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. I consider this present time as nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory that we will enter. So what everyone needs to do is stop blaming others and confess their own sins. And we have to ask you, are you aware of sins that you've done that you've tried to hide or keep back from God? Folks, that doesn't work because God knows everything. He already knows what you did. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge, okay, I've sinned. And then guess what? Blessings from God will return to you when that happens. So confess your own sins. And if you need to confess sins, we'll give you that opportunity. We have the invitation song we're going to sing. And you can do that. You have the chance to, in just a few minutes, be in a right relationship with God once again. But that's up to you. You have to make that choice. And we all do. So think about those things. And that's our lesson this morning. And if you are subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.